We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Thanks, sir. Excuse me. Councilmember Bruce?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item is the consent agenda, and we do need to remove item 4D, number 9.
Okay, if there's...
And there's a lot in there, so if there's anything anybody wants pulled off for discussion, we can do so wherever you would like to do.
4E9 under 8D. Anybody, anybody? Good. Okay, I would move we approve the consent agenda with the removal of item 4E9.
Actually, 4D.
Before D.
D is in...
I did hear you right. There's 4D9.
I didn't specify it.
There's not a 4D.
Or military might be Delta. I don't know.
There you go. Is it the resolution they added?
Yes, the first one there about Falcon Crest.
Yeah, that is 4E.
Oh. You are right.
4E9. Okay. Motion still stands on the first motion. 4E9.
Sorry.
I'll second.
All right. Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. I'm going to get through here. All right, that takes us right to public hearings. 2022 Comprehensive Plan Amendment Maps and Area of City Impact Boundary Adjustment. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. The City of CUNA requests consideration for an amendment to the Comprehensive Plan Maps and a reduction of the Area of City Impact Boundary. The future land use map is intended to carry out the goals of the comprehensive plan by designating land uses that will enhance the city by shaping and managing both the built and undeveloped environment, preserving existing land uses, and implementing a strong community design that will meet the demands of the citizens, public infrastructure, and services. The City of CUNA's future land use map, approved in July 2019, will be updated to meet the aforementioned goals. Changes include a significant increase in lands designated agriculture to preserve open spaces and rural character outside of the city's core, providing more substantial commercial frontages along the main entry corridors to the city, and adapting future land uses to ensure unnecessary hardship will not be placed on public infrastructure. I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug.
I got a couple.
Councilmember Larraway.
Yes. I got a couple. About 3 months ago, you guys had the open house. I know we filled out paperwork that we had questions on, and nobody has ever got back. Not your fault. That was under a different leadership. I understand that. But that kind of leads me where I'm at now. Why do we have so much mixed use? To me, it opens the door for other problems. Instead of just leaving it R8 or low density or medium density, and when the applicant comes in to develop that piece, they can apply for whatever they want there. But we're opening it up now, and I just don't understand why we have so much.
So, for the record, Doug Hansen, the amount of mixed use we actually have on the new comprehensive plan map has decreased significantly from what was previously adopted in 2019. The reason we have the mixed use where we do along arterial and mid-mile collectors is so we can encourage planned developments that we want to foster some sort of creativity for developers. We don't necessarily want to tell them this needs to be high-density residential, this needs to be medium, this needs to be commercial. If we leave it up to them to sort of meet our mixed-use standards by providing two separate distinct uses, we get more creativity from them in the types of developments that are proposed. We still wouldn't, for example, we still wouldn't let an item come forward in a mixed-use area where if staff in the city thought we needed a more significant commercial presence, we would tell the developers we needed to see more commercial. We'll work with them in that regard, but...
Yeah, and I understand the commercial, I mean, the mixed use on 69. I get it. There's a lot of it on 10 Mile. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
The specific reasoning behind the mixed use on 10 Mile versus just commercial is so much of that corridor is already developed residentially right along the arterial roadway.
Right.
Is that you're not going to get as much heavily developed pure commercial right on the roadway.
I guess I define the commercial versus like storefronts versus residential apartments. That's where I look at that. We just seem to invite problems with it. Like on Cunamora Road, that's huge, those partials that are on there. Between Strobel and Eagle?
You're looking at Cuna Road, not Cunamora, if I...
That's right.
I
mean, those are huge parcels. I mean, that's why I don't understand why we just label it mixed use instead of leaving it like medium density and letting the applicant come in and change what he wants to fit his needs or her needs, whatever it is.
So that area specifically, as I mentioned before, Cuna Road is a principal arterial roadway, and it's one of the main east-west arterial roadways throughout the city that isn't developed with preceding residential developments along Hubbard and Columbia. A number of those arterials are already developed with large acre county subdivisions. This is one area that's relatively undeveloped with its distance from the city core, and its proximity to Indian Creek made it more valuable for a mixed-use type development in the future should that ever show up.
I'd like to expand on what Councilman Larraway is saying. Doug, one of the biggest things we hear is the lack of commercial we see on the west side of the city. You appear to have just taken away the entire 10-mile commercial stance that we as a council all loved and appreciated when we wrote the comprehensive plan. It's all mixed use now. And to John's point, Councilman Larraway's point, that wasn't part of things that we were happy to see and things we wanted to see in that part of the city when we approved the comprehensive plan. You've eliminated all commercial on that side. And I know that residents of the city don't want to have to continually drive 10 minutes to get to a good commercial front, but that is now where the comprehensive plan sits, is we're just going to stack residential on the west side and everyone's going to spend 10 minutes to drive to any commercial front, still ending up closer to Meridian Walmart than they would the city of Cuna commercial. And so what you're saying is you like having mixed use coming through the main arterials into Cuna, but you've now eliminated commercial opportunity for the entire sector of residents on that side.
So for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff, mixed use would require two uses 99% of the time. The only mixed use product that the city has seen come through has had a commercial component involved with it. So, and staff on 10 Mile Road, if a developer came forward with any type of product that didn't have commercial on its frontage, staff would not be in support of it.
Well, as an example, there's that large parcel of land on 10 Mile and Hubbard that they fought to have it mixed use instead of commercial. 40 acres.
Those are now apartments.
We as a council fought for the commercial and said, this is what it is. This is what people want to see. But you're saying now
staff is not going to support commercial in these areas of the city.
No, what I'm saying is staff wouldn't support a mixed-use product on 10 Mile Road that did not have commercial as a component of the project.
So when you say a commercial component, mixed-use commercial, or mixed-use with that commercial component is not going to be the same style of commercial that a C1 component would bring, or a C2. Am I correct in that statement?
So
are we looking at just a gas station in the middle of apartments?
Mixed use is just a designation. It's not an actual zone. So they would be able to come forward with C1 neighborhood commercial, C2 area commercial, C3 service commercial. They'd be able to present to us whatever type of commercial zone they wanted to utilize. They wouldn't be limited by that.
I guess I just, it's a concern. The elimination of commercial and just all of 10 Mile is now mixed use, and we're going to see miles of apartments going down 10 Mile at this point. Thank you.
Wasn't the concern with the way it was zoned commercial before was the depth of the commercial? I thought that was...
So that was part of it. The reason we, for the record, Doug Hansen, the reason we specifically designated right along the roadway of Meridian as commercial is because city staff does not want to see anything but commercial within that depth. The mixed use designation allows them to choose the amount of commercial they have. For example, some of the parcels along the 10-mile corridor are 20-plus acres that may have been designated commercial. It's not necessarily feasible for a piece along 10 Mile that's 40 acres to develop wholly as commercial. That was the part of the reasoning behind making them mixed use.
So when you say feasible, why wouldn't it be feasible? Is that just something, because I did see the letter from developers in there, and particularly one that we had to fight for keeping it commercial in there. Why is it the staff doesn't see that being feasible as commercial?
Yeah, Morgan might actually be able to answer that question a bit better than I can.
For the record, Morgan Treasure, Economic Development, City of CUNA. Council member, the reality of how we're seeing development applications come in on parcels, especially when we're talking 20s and 40s, for the character of our city, is going to be looking towards more of that, what would come through as a mixed-use development because of the land acquisition. You can't, without a more complicated land process, and especially in this real estate climate, those developers are having to go and purchase that entire 20 or 40 acres. And especially on 10 Mile, where there's so much already developed residential, we can't feasibly support, like, a 40-acre site is like a major grocery or retail outlet. And the development that we have had already kind of precludes that style of commercial development. So we need to have the flexibility to get the commercial we want in the market. We need to allow some flexibility to accommodate the sites. A 40-acre commercial parcel is something that you would see along Eagle Road. And 10 Mile, because the amount of residential that's already there, just doesn't really support that. So if we have that mixed-use designation, then as staff, when developers bringing forward those applications, we can say we want something similar to what is on in the Ashton Estates, right? So that Jackson Mill backage road, the way that sets up that commercial that then fades back into residential so that it makes a true commercial corridor, we're allowing the flexibility based on our parcel size.
And to follow up a little bit, I guess my point, if you take a large parcel of land and you deem it mixed use, what I've noticed is the developers will come in and put some kind of little, honestly, they build apartments. Because that's all you can put on 40 acres. They're not going to put a strip, a commercial strip, and do what with the rest? So that's my concern, is why do we deem things mixed use instead of leaving it medium density and let them come in and apply for exactly what they're going to do instead of labeling it mixed use?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff. I don't know if this directly addresses your concern or question, but when mixed use comes forward, any type of commercial that they put there, when they choose their commercial zone and whatever size that would be, you wouldn't be able to put multifamily on commercially zoned properties. That's not allowed in city code.
Well, they're doing it on Highway 69, the frontage between Deer Flat and Ardell. The front portion of it is commercial, and they made the rest of it apartments in the back.
That's because if that... What development are you specifically referring to? I'm sorry.
LLC 69.
Okay, so the Belzer Rock subdivision, that portion of R20, when that came through the public hearing process, they created a legal description and through their subdivision process created a parcel that was zoned R20. That's why they're able to have high-density residential there.
And that's kind of my point. Why don't we just leave it medium density and let them come in and apply for what they want rather than make it all mixed use and then divide it up? It didn't make a lot of sense.
Part of that is specifically in regard to the 10-mile area is we don't want that all to be medium density residential. We do want there to be commercial along 10-mile road. However, we don't necessarily see significant commercial developments like the Ashen Estates commercial with DMB and supply and things like that. We don't necessarily see commercial ventures of that size developing on 10 Mile, but we still want a commercial presence there. That's why we have the designation of mixed use.
Like on Cudamore Road, I mean, those are huge parcels.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think those are going to be filled up with commercial?
Well, the comprehensive plan is a 20-year plan that is generally amended every 5 years. We came back at 3 because of the rate that CUNA is growing. Mm-hmm. It's likely that before some of those parcels ever even come to develop, that we'd be amending the plan again. But right now, we're just looking at this ultimately through a 5-year lens and a 20-year picture.
So how many of these mixed-use properties that you have are actually annexed into the city right now?
I could not answer that question off the top of my head. The comprehensive plan doesn't follow whether it's in the city or not. It looks at our area of city impact and designates...
And I know the comprehensive plan is a guideline. It's mm-hmm. not a Bible. I understand that. But it just seemed like we had a lot. It just didn't fit what I thought we were trying to do. Maybe I'm looking at mixed use as being something other than commercial.
And there is potential for mixed use to be things other than commercial. However, when it comes forward, it could never wholly be residential.
But if it's already annexed in, we don't have much choice, do we?
Well, if they have to go through a rezoning process, we wouldn't support a change to anything other than something with commercial and residential. A number of the properties that are annexed in and don't have any development on them are low-density residential or agricultural. If they wanted to come forward with a rezone, staff still wouldn't support anything other than mixed use along those corridors. We would let it be known that staff wants to see a commercial presence down 10 Mile Road.
I guess I missed the control part to where the annexation part. If I understand most of 10 miles annexed mm-hmm. in. Mm-hmm. But when you get out on Cuilmore Road, I don't think a lot of that's annexed in yet, is it, on the south side?
No, some of that property is not annexed in on the south side.
They have to come before to get annexed in. Mm-hmm, that's
correct.
A little control check I'm trying to make sure we have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anything further before I open the public hearing? All right, this is a public hearing. I didn't have anybody sign up to testify on this matter. Is there anybody who wishes to? This is the comprehensive and ACI boundaries, the first one on the agenda. Okay, nobody? All right, thank you. And it is certainly fine for council if you would like to
review this more. I don't believe we have to have this complete tonight. So no,
I do want to put a record. Your department does a great job. I have never had a beef, and you're always on top of everything. I didn't mean for this to be any kind of criticizing. Okay.
So you weren't yelling at him?
Well, I talked to him.
And I appreciate all the work that's gone into this. I know that a lot of time and effort and thought has gone into this and trying to make things more, especially addressing areas that we can support growth in and that type of thing. So
do you have any other questions?
I guess I have one more question, and it was just based on a comment that was said. You had mentioned, you know, the acreage on that side along 10 Mile was equivalent to like D&B supply or something like that, where you were looking at that. For the residents to drive 5 to 10 minutes just to get to the D&B side of the commercial, it seems like that's the only focus of commercial. Why don't we see any use on that side of the city for people that can drive 10 minutes to Ridley's and D&B or drive 10 minutes into Meridian to shop? Why don't we see that need on that side of the city? Why would you think that?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff. That example that I gave is not that we don't see the need for commercial on that side of the city. We just may not see the need for commercial developments of that size. We still think small retailers, small grocery stores, gas stations, convenience stores, things like that are needed on 10 Mile Road. But with how CUNA is separated and how commercial site selectors would look at the city, the concentration with 69 going all the way up to the highway, being that connection from Meridian, that major north-south corridor, that's where the concentration of the larger commercial uses would be. Not that we don't see commercial uses on 10 Mile, just smaller in nature.
Because we see 10 Mile all the way from Meridian down through CUNA. We see that growing, right? Mm-hmm. We see 10 Mile Road expanding. We are eliminating that side of the shopping that you see on the east side from the west side. And I know you talk about convenience stores and gas stations and things that are needed on that side, but we are losing that from the west side of the residents. We're going to lose that if we eliminate all the commercial that we did plan on having 3 years ago on that side, now turning it all to mixed use to keep it at real small retail or gas stations.
So by making it mixed use, we're not taking away the ability for someone to put a grocery store there if that was their choice. It's just that we can't choose what a developer puts on their property. It's their property. They can propose a development plan to us. If they want to put a grocery store there, by all means, it's possible. We just don't necessarily see... And I don't know the exact size of the Ashton State commercial shell as a whole, but we just don't see connected 20-acre commercial sites of land along 10 Mile Road the whole way down like we would like to see on Meridian Road. That's just not something that we see happening in the next 5 years.
Well, isn't that property on Hubbard and 10 Mile on the southwest corner, isn't that scheduled for Mr. Eck? I'm trying to remember.
It's the Bodall Farm one.
What's that?
Bodall Farm, that's what that one's under.
I mean, right now it's scheduled for, I think, housing. I think we had approved that for R6. And they were going to put...
As I recall, no. The back part is housing, but the front acreage is all commercial.
That's correct.
It is commercial.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay. Because, again, it's all...
That's what I think that was...
I think you're right.
You mean on the west side of 10 Mile?
Yeah, correct.
Southwest.
I mean, I'm kind of like Councilman Christian said, I'm worried we're pigeonholing ourselves in by not including 10 Mile, because eventually 10 Mile is going to grow wider because of the freeway exit. That's what's causing it. People are getting off there, and the road's getting used quite a bit. But like you say, right now it's just residential.
And you're right, Doug. To your point, we can't control what the developers do. I'll be danged to see if a developer chooses a mixed use as a commercial. You know, unless my memory doesn't serve me correct. Yeah, you bet. They're going for the money and the apartments. We're not going to see a commercial opportunity on that side of 10 Mile if it's all mixed use. That's just truly how I see that, and that's what scares me. So,
well, right now, it's if you look at like this map I'm looking at, if you look at the core of what's developed, of course, it's not. They're not going to put that there. I mean, there's no population at Hubbard and 10 Mile right now. It's all solely east of there. What's the fastest way to Meridian? A little farther east, straight up Meridian Road.
Straight up 10 Mile.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Meridian Road will get you there faster. Great. It's got stoplights.
That's where I've spent my whole life. You go straight up 10 Mile, you're getting to Meridian faster than you drive all the way to Meridian Road to go to Meridian.
I do it every day, buddy.
So do I.
I do it every day.
So do I.
Midday traffic, people going to shop. That's what people are going to do. I mean, I would take the back road. I know you do, too. That's the nature. But the faster route is you're going to potentially hit stop signs or stoplights green on Meridian Road because it's a major thoroughfare versus stop sign at Hubbard, traffic light at Columbia, stop sign at Lake Hazel, a roundabout that Amity that's backed up for a half a mile at peak hours.
You're absolutely right that that's how it currently is. With expansion and growth on 10 Mile, yeah, that's going to change.
And that'll all change with stoplights.
And we're going to see a north-south development on 10 Mile.
For sure.
But with all this mixed use, you have eliminated all that residential that's going to take place. Guess what? They hit Columbia, they hit Lake Hazel, residents do. They're back to shopping in Meridian.
But I think everyone is forgetting that the mixed use is just, and this is just a guideline where we say this is what we want to see, and it's kind of directing them to develop this way. Like, put the frontage out there. Back to the Hubbard 10 Mile. That's a 40-acre chunk, that Bodall chunk. And I don't remember what we did the splits for on commercial on the front. Who can tell me the size of the Walmart and Meridian off Overland? If you do sidewalk to sidewalk, property line, include the gas station, how big is that parcel? 16.5 acres. I just looked it up. So that's not quite half of that 40. So you could slam a Walmart on that corner, still do a row or two of apartments, go to R6, and then on down from there, and there's your mixed use.
Yeah, I guess.
Does that not fit what we're trying to accomplish there?
Well, I think it is, but I think I keep falling back on my same concern is we don't know how much of that's already annexed in. The mixed use that's not annexed in, we have some control over. The mixed use that's already annexed in, we really don't have a dog in the fight because it's already in the planning zoning process and we have legislative law that backs them up.
That brings up a really good question, actually. If it's already annexed in, and it was annexed in based on commercial or, you know, an R6 or something that was designated on the previous map, if this changes, do they still have to apply for a zone change regardless?
I think if it's already previously annexed, it goes by the old designation, right, from at the time of annexation?
It'll all depend. If a property is in the county and it's annexed, they need to choose a zone upon annexation. The mixed use is not a zone. Mixed use is just a designation letting the developer know that you need to have two separate uses. The majority of the time, pieces that we have seen have come in as commercial zones and residential zones. That's what they choose to do. Properties that are already in city limits that have zoning, if it is R6 and they were annexed as such, it's entitled. They only have to, they can do a preliminary plat, they have to meet technical requirements and other regulations, but they could develop as such. If a property is already in the city limits but it's zoned ag, they'd be required to go through a rezone application, and they would need to be in accordance with the comprehensive plan. So if there was a 20-acre ag piece and it was a mixed-use designation over that area, we would want the rezone to be commercial and residential or some other component. does that answer your question?
So if it's already annexed and zoned, this doesn't really do anything to that?
If it's annexed and zoned with a residential district zoning district classification, and if that's what the developer wants to do, then no, it doesn't.
But if it's annexed in and zoned in R6, and now it's mixed use, you threw in an important statement there. If that's what they want to do, then no, it doesn't. But what if they want to change it because it went from a medium residential to a mixed use, according to the map? That's where they have to apply for a rezone, correct?
That's correct.
And that goes through the full process of a rezone at that point.
And I guess what I'm trying to get forward is, if it's not annexed in, we have control of what we can bring in. If it's already annexed in and we change it to mixed use, the lawyers get involved.
I think I've addressed the question, but just to be extra clear, mixed use is not a zone. Mixed use is just a designation. A parcel could never annex into city limits as mixed use.
No, but it's a platter that says, okay, here's what you can, you change what you can use that land for. It's not our medium density anymore. If it's now labeled mixed use, instead of housing, it could be apartment complexes.
Well, there could be housing in apartment complexes, but it would still need to have another component other than just residential. We wouldn't ever allow just apartments and medium-density housing on a mixed-use product if it wasn't already entitled to be that. A number of the properties that will be designated under that mixed-use designation coming down that corridor are either unannexed or they're not zoned for residential development.
And I guess I go back to my original first question. Why don't we relabel it? Why don't we just leave it medium density and let the applicant come in and change what he wants at that time?
Because we still want to promote a mixed-use commercial presence along the 10-mile corridor.
I understand that. But if they come in and they want to put commercial residential, you can't stop that.
That's not mixed-use.
You're saying it is mixed use.
A commercial zoning and residential zoning would constitute a mixed use.
Right.
But they'd have to develop together.
But if they're already annexed in, I don't want to make this difficult, but I just, without knowing which ones are annexed in and which ones aren't, there is a process that we have. We can't, I don't want to use the word stop them, but they have the upper hand, because then it falls under the legislative law where they have, once it's in planning and zoning, it's a little bit different for us.
So would you like to maybe table this and find out what is already annexed in at that, in those maps?
I don't know how difficult that would be.
It's pretty easy.
Because then you can look at that and say, hey, this is already annexed in, this is what we...
And the stuff that's already annexed in, that's what we're trying to put to mixed use, how much of that is already approved for something else?
And John, to your point, that's what he's saying in, yeah, okay, parcel X is annexed in as an R6, we've approved it. If they want to then change that because it's now mixed use on the future map, they still have to go through the rezoning process that still gets in front of council for an approval.
Okay.
So it's not a rezone. A rezone in and of itself is a process, just like an annexation or a pre-plat. So
if it's already been annexed in as residential, then it'll have to stay that until it goes through the process.
To rezone it, correct. I got another question, guys, and apologies, just lots of questions with this. So what has changed in the 3 years for particularly that long corridor down 10 Mile? Why did we deem that necessary to classify that 3 years ago as commercial, and now we're coming back and changing it to mixed use? What has changed in those 3 years that, you know,
so
is there
something we
had set in stone for, you know, 20 years, but you review every five? This seems like a change in the middle of it all, as if something occurred from that. What happened that caused you guys to look at that section?
So I think the answer to that comes in that the process was not completely finished by the person that we had in charge at the time. We went through a process, but it never got completely vetted out and finished. The usage didn't get looked at. We didn't look at the depth of what commercial is. We never really finished that process. It didn't get completed. And so it was necessary to come back through so that we can look at this and say, nobody's going to buy this piece of property because nobody's going to build a 40-acre commercial development here. And they don't. That's not what they want to do. So we had to go back and look at the process, and after Jace had taken over, he actually kind of started this process, and we started taking an in-depth look and then looked at the history of how we got where we were. And then it's taken a lot of time to go through and look at all of that, and now Doug's the guy, but he's basically carrying on what we started after Jace had taken over. That's kind of how we got where we are today, and why it's happening, you know, 3 years instead of 5 years, and that process was never completely finished properly. And you can add to that anything you want. Computer doesn't like you today?
Nope. Imagine Doug didn't either. Back to, I guess, our original situation. Do we want them to go back and tell us what's annexed in?
I just don't know whether that changes anything. It wouldn't change a decision in the future. It wouldn't. It doesn't solidify them in.
Okay.
Or
because it's already annexed in as
they have to change
residential. Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah, they would have to go through the process anyways to change it.
Okay, I'm good. I got my 2 cents in.
I think that was 3 cents.
I'll give you your change back.
No, that's good. I appreciate the discussion and vetting things out. So.
No, and I do. I want to thank you guys for doing this. I know it's not easy.
Definitely. Like so. I said, good job.
I have one more question, and I found an example. Just hold tight. So Hubbard Linder, northwest corner. It looks about 40 acres on this map I'm looking at. I cross-referenced it with the city map of city limit boundaries. It shows that 40-acre chunk is listed as mixed use on here. The city boundary map says that 40 acres is not annexed in yet, at least if that map's current. So if tomorrow this gentleman goes and buys that 40 acres and says, I want to put a Walmart out front on the 16.5 in the front, and I'm going to do apartments all the rest of it, what I'm understanding is that wouldn't work, right? It would have to be multiple uses of residential, so it could go like the Walmart, apartments, some houses, a park, and then it would butt up to whatever other subdivision that is. Is that correct?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. If they wanted to come forward with something like a Walmart in high-density residential housing, that would constitute as a mixed use because you're getting a residential use and a commercial use. So two separate uses, but they would be complementary. More ideal than that in a location like that, you'd want to see a transition of a pure commercial use into, let's say, a vertically integrated mixed use. So maybe commercial ground level, higher density, a floor or two above it, into medium density residential housing along the existing residential development that's already to the north and to the west.
Okay.
In a perfect world, that's the type of development you'd like to see somewhere like that.
Just making sure I have.
But yes, technically, a Walmart and high-density residential housing would constitute mixed use in the most basic sense.
Thank you for all your effort into this.
Chief, why do you get a frown every time you hear the word Walmart?
I get people ripped out and said no Walmart.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it.
I like all the agriculture in there, too. Thank you for the, I didn't realize it was 16 acres. I wouldn't guess it.
I was thinking about it, and everyone was talking about developing a 40, and I'm like, man, that's a big Walmart.
Yeah. So,
I checked it real quick. But.
Okay.
Okay, back to this thing. Everyone done? Waiting on me? Good to proceed?
I'm good.
Okay. Then I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
I'll second that.
Motion is made. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Well, again, I guess I'll start here. Thanks to Planning and Zoning. I'm sure Morgan had her hand in this. Legal, probably everybody. I'm sure it's a lot of work to go through something like this and make changes based on the facts you have and the numbers and everything. So thanks for all your effort into that. And, of course, fielding our 97 off-the-wall questions. It's a lot of work, and it was a lot to read through the last couple nights. And so just thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate the discussions that we've had about the need for the change and the amount of time that it's taken to get to where we are with it. And staff's done a great job. And a lot of time and effort and research into this. So.
You know, I guess I can't let go of the fact that it was stated, you know, we don't need like a D&B style or size of type of shopping on that side of the city. Greg, to your point, sure, everyone drives down Meridian Road.
See, you admitted it. I knew it.
But I worry because when I do see mixed use, in my experience, we've seen apartments and little gas stations, if we're lucky. To have all the residents on that side of the city have to take off still 5-10 miles to get to a true retail environment at this point, more growth in that area, the more they're going to hurt. And that's what worries me.
But to that point,
went all the way from all the red was gone to all mixed use.
But I think, to that point, I think staff's going to keep that under control so we don't lose all of that.
Instead of R20, you'll have to have PF50 or your goal.
And plus, if it all has come through for zoning change and
right.
Council doesn't have to approve it, everything that comes forward. So.
Mr. Bruce, anything?
Negative.
Okay. Well, with that, then I would I would move we approve the 2022 Comprehensive Plan Amendment and the Area of City Impact Boundary Adjustment.
Do we have a second?
Do you want to look at it more? Do you want, what do you guys think?
I think we're really, really just hanging on to hope that they're going to throw commercial into those mixed uses. It's going to satisfy the residents as we expand that way.
Yeah.
And I think eliminating the true commercial areas all on the west side of the city like that, we're going to see a negative impact with that. Both are assumptions. Both we don't know. But this opens the door to allow that to happen.
And I guess I fall back on the same thing to where we just don't know what we're going to get. And I've got, and I'll be glad to share them, news articles, newspapers, talking about how the apartment complex world's taken over, but it's not cost effective. It's too expensive to build. There's really no affordable living. And there was another Pell research done in 2021 that people don't want to live in. So the mixed use just, to me, hangs there. With the feasibility of that's what's going to be put there.
And it's not that I have anything against the mixed use designation. It literally now lines a significant amount of 10 mile for a mile and a half, 2 miles. And I understand the whole concept that, well, they have to do multiple zones in there, so they will do, you know, potentially a commercial zone with a residential. But even in my experience with mixed use, it is heavily dominated high density that gets put in those places. And
I still think the need will warrant, like Columbia 10 Mile, let's just go to there. When the population is there, somebody will latch on to one of those mixed-use deals. Look at when they built the Chevron where they did. Everyone thought they were nuts. It's out of downtown Coricuna. It's way out. It's half a mile out of town. No one's going to go to that. Yeah, look at it now. You can't get in that place. It's packed 24/7.
But that's commercial storefront.
Well, and that is what he's saying. With housing part of behind it. And that's what mixed-use
is. Right, but
do.
That's what mixed-use will be at Columbia and 10 Mile. They'll put a gas station out front, something behind it, and on down the line they go. It will grow into that as the need for it is there, as the population will support it. You know, look at the dentist office at Deer Flatten School. It went in. There's a need for it. People will go to that. It's in a heavily populated area. Hubbard and 10 Mile isn't heavily populated yet. Neither is Columbia. But as the need grows up that corridor with four businesses as such, they'll have that opportunity to put it in. If we slam residential all the way up to the edge of 10 Mile Road, where are all those shops going to go? Well, or if we make it, you know, commercial,
that's just commercial. That's where I see the elimination of all commercial and all mixed use at this point. And that's why I struggle with this. And their whole thought process of we can't designate a commercial, the parcels are too big, so we're going to do mixed use and hope they put the right businesses there, or and hope they designate 20 of those acres commercial and do something nice. That site of CUNA needs a retail environment, for lack of better terms.
But we can't force that to go there.
You're right, we can't force that to go. So instead, we're going to switch that and take away that possibility. And
the possibility is still there.
To mixed use.
The possibility is completely still there.
If it were still commercial, they could just have it rezoned to
they could go through the process to get a parcel split.
And it's the same way as with mixed use, right? What?
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're worried about apartment complexes, would our sewer system up there even handle those? If that were something they were to bring forward? Because I think that's what you're worried about the most.
The plant could handle that going north. South would be an issue.
The density.
It just, yeah, it opens up to allow that kind of density
higher density.
The way up 10 Mile Road at this point.
I mean, I know Cuna's not Meridian, I get that, but if you drive down Meridian now, my God, there's apartment complexes going on everywhere. And I just don't want to see that in Cuna. I just don't think that's the small town we lose, that small town here. We want neighbors, we want friends, we want yards, we want a community.
And as that develops, if we look at it as commercial lots, those will start to develop.
Okay, so do we have a substitute motion? Motion number one won't get a second.
I move we deny the 2022 comprehensive plan amendment and area of city impact boundary adjustment.
Do you want to leave everything the way it is?
And
so we have a motion and a second to deny. So any further discussion? Do we want to leave everything the way it is? This includes, you're talking about the area of city impact also, or is that part fine, or is it the comprehensive plan amendment?
No,
or?
Thank you, Mayor, for bringing that up, because I think ACI, the area of city impact, is an appropriate adjustment. I think the big pushback is I would like to deny and withdraw my denial. And say I would like to deny the 2022 comprehensive plan amendment map and approve the area of city impact boundary adjustment.
And is there any suggestions for
can we split
what you want
that?
Staff to do, or do you want them to draw up at it?
Suggestion. I think just based on the discussion, I think there still is a true need to keep commercial designations on the west side of the city and to revisit what eliminations they did and what maybe they could keep.
So reevaluate the mixed use on 10 Mile?
Reevaluate the mixed use on 10 Mile specifically.
Mayor.
Can we split those two into separate motions? Because I'm in favor of the city impact one, but I'm not in favor with everything else here.
Sure.
Okay. Let's withdraw all motions at this point. Let's start with I move we deny the 2022 comprehensive plan amendment map based on the discussion and recommendations we had.
Second.
Didn't you say you just want them to review the land, the mixed use on 10 Mile? So you want to deny it, have them revisit the mixed use on 10 Mile, then bring it back? Is that how you would state it?
All right. So let's do this. So motion number one, Councilmember McPherson for approval, died due to lack of motion. The second motion to deny both the comprehensive plan and the area city impact is rescinded. Is that correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So now let's start with the new motion that we want to go with.
Okay. Splitting them up. So first motion, to your point, Chris, I move we deny the 2022 comprehensive plan amendment map based on the discussion we had and revisit new solutions.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is
there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yes.
Okay. Motion number two.
I move we approve area of city impact boundary adjustment. Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the area of city impact boundary adjustment. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Were you able to clarify all of that, Chris?
Let me be sure.
Okay.
Okay, so we closed the evidence presentation and proceeded to deliberation. That was motion by McPherson, second by Christensen, passed 4-0. Motion to approve the 22 comprehensive plan amendment maps and area of city impact died due to lack of second, moved by McPherson. Christensen moved to deny the comp plan and approve the area of city impact. Larraway second. Christensen withdrew that motion. Christensen moved to deny the comp plan and revisit with no specific instructions to staff. Second by Larraway, motion carried 3-1. McPherson voted no. Christensen moved to approve area of city impact. Seconded by McPherson, motion carried 4-0. Did I get it?
Okay, very good. All right.
Chris is awesome. That was a mouthful.
Thank you, Chris. Case number 2117-AN, annexation, and 2106-CPF, combined preliminary and final plat, and 2106-DA, development agreement for Schuyler Ranch subdivision. Doug Hansen.
Mr. Mayor, council members, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. The application before you this evening is proposing to annex approximately 9.97 acres into CUNA city limits with R4 and R6 medium density residential zones and to subdivide the property into three lots through the combo plat process. The application is accompanied by a development agreement to ensure the property will not be able to develop until such time that there is adequate serviceability. At which time adequate serviceability for the site is determined, the applicant may apply to subdivide the property in substantial conformance with the concept plan shown as part of Exhibit 2.13 preliminary plat in your packet. Following review, staff has determined the annexation, combo plat, and development agreement request is within technical compliance of CUNA City Code, Idaho State Code, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan. If the council approves the annexation, combo plat, and development agreement, staff would recommend the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section 10 of your staff memo, as well as any other additional conditions this decision-making body decides to impose. I will stand by for questions.
Okay. Questions for Doug.
Doug, I'm sorry, maybe you should know this more or less for Paul when it comes to the sewer review out there, mentioning nothing can be served until the 18-inch pipe is put in, basically. Do we have an estimated time frame when that's going to happen, or?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff, the 18-inch Danskin Force Main project that would alleviate some of the pressure did go out to bid. Those bids have been received, but they're still under review by the Public Works Department. The greater solution, the Mason Creek trunk line, that will provide gravity irrigation across the essentially the entire Mason Creek feeder to the sewer treatment plant, we do not have a date for that yet.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further? All right. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody who didn't get a chance to sign in who wishes to testify?
Council, I'm sorry. For the record, a point of clarification, I said gravity irrigation line, gravity sewer line. I just wanted to clarify that for the record. Not an irrigation line.
And are you, well, in favor, neutral, or in opposition?
Mr. Mayor, the applicant is here if you wanted to testify.
Okay, I was just trying to find out if everybody's signed up. You're neutral? Okay, yes, the applicant, please.
My name's Angie Cuellar, and I'm with Mason & Associates at 924 3rd Street South in Nampa, and here representing Skylar Ranch LLC, a developer that once had a dream to put 32 lots in that field, and as we were going through the process, the city informed us that the Danskin sewer lift station would not accommodate the sewer. And so that put a halt to that process. And then the developer said, well, there's two existing homes on this big piece of property, and he would like to take those two existing homes and separate them from the larger piece that will eventually, when the city has services, turn into a subdivision. And so that's the major goal, separate the two existing homes so that they can be sold and leave the major field there until city services come in. We're doing this with a development agreement for more than one reason, because the neighbors, we had neighborhood meetings, and the neighbors expressed concern. They did not want multifamily apartments and these kind of things next to them, especially the neighbors on to the west side, whose zone was R4. And so we listened to them, and we made the conceptual preliminary plat that is going to be part of the development agreement in the future, R4 zone, next to the R4 zone on the west, so that those neighbors are next to lots similar to their own. And then as we move east, especially in the center portion of the property, we wanted to increase the density to R6 as we move towards the canal. And as I understand it, on that side, there's higher density housing. And so we wouldn't be as high as that. We'd still have single family lots, but we would be able to increase the density in the middle. And that's the reason why we were asking for R4 and R6. The development agreement would also, I noticed in the conditions it didn't mention that there wouldn't be any multifamily apartments, but that was one of the huge concerns of the neighbors. They did not want that, and the developer did not want to put them through that. And so he does not want to put apartments there, high density there either. One thing that came to light, one of the neighbors called me and said there's a for sale sign out here on this property. This was a surprise to us as the engineering firm. We didn't know that. And so I just wanted to put before you that the property is for sale. But I also wanted to, I know you know this, but I also wanted to state that development agreements follow the land. And if you vote to go through this development agreement today with this parcel, someone who purchased this land is not going to be able to then go against the development agreement unless they come before you to modify it. Because they wanted it to be R4, larger lots, R6, a little bit smaller lots, but still with 32 lots for the whole thing in the future. No multifamily apartments. And I think some of the neighbors that were calling me were terrified that, oh no, now there's a for sale sign. This is what developers do. They sell their lots, they sell their property, and the new owners will now go against everything that you guys promised us you'd keep. And so I know you know this, but just for the record, anybody who didn't know this, the development agreement follows the land no matter who purchases it. So that's what I wanted to point out, and if you have any questions, I'll stand for questions.
Okay, question.
How many total houses are going to be built on the 9.97 acres?
The 9.97 acres is the entire area, and so two houses are going to be removed, and there would have been 32 homes or 32 parcels or lots on the remainder of the property. That was the proposed, 32. And I believe you have a concept of what the 32 parcels would look like.
Here, chair. You got $50.
And then, so may I ask the purpose of going through all this if the property is just going to be for sale?
Well, he wanted to split off the two existing homes and sell them separate from the parcel that will be developed in the future. I think partially to recoup some of the money that has been put into the development already. Because we thought we, you know, were going to do a 32-lot subdivision. Also in that agreement, the development agreement, is the condition that those two homes that are would be split off when will be connected to city services as well, when city services are available to the rest of the parcel. That's part of the agreement with the city or its staff. That's what we wanted to.
So okay. we're not looking at a 32 lots then at this point?
No, the 32 lots cannot come in because of the sewer and city service situation. And until that's resolved, the 32 lots can't come in. And when the sewer situation is resolved, we have to come before you again. Now we're ready to move forward with this subdivision. So you'll get a second chance to review, and by then, maybe some rules have changed. You know, we don't know what's going to happen between now and the time services are available.
Okay. I guess I'm confused. We're looking at a combination preliminary and a final plat.
Yes, because what we're asking for today is a three lot subdivision. The two existing homes, one on each lot, and then one big vacant lot.
You see that map in there, Warren?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Page 46, 72 gives you the whole layout.
And then the full packet.
Well, I can't help you there. No,
64, you mean?
Yeah, 64. No. Page 46 of 72 is the map I'm looking at. Concept replat plan. That shows the two bigger lots up there and then the other 32 lots.
I'm looking at the concept plan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything further at this time? Let me go ahead and open the public hearing.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. This is a public hearing. Once again, is there anybody who didn't get a chance to sign up to testify who wishes? Okay. Janice Hatfield, did you wish to testify?
I guess I should say
something. Okay, I'll make an X for you.
Okay.
Well, we don't want to force you into anything.
Okay. Well, I never, you know, never know what to say. We live right across the driveway from this parcel. And we have been concerned about what is going to go in there. We would like to see the two houses sold as they are today. And we're all right with them being sold. We're also all right with the part with the development if it stays as though it has been presented. We are one of those that do not want to have apartments. We have nice homes, and we still have apartment buildings down on the corner of School and Ardell. And there's houses around them that are $550,000, $600,000 houses, and you've got apartment houses on the corner. And that's what we didn't want to see happen across the area from us.
Okay.
And as I said, we're fine with splitting those two houses off. Basically, I know the big house has been totally remodeled. We were just sick to think that maybe they would tear it down. We're happy that they're going to, that they want to keep them, both of them, and sell them off separately.
Okay. Thank you. And Dave Reinhart.
Mayor Steer, honorable council members, David Reinhart, CUNA School District. I think things have maybe evolved a little bit since we wrote our comments on March 3rd, but maybe I'll just speak to the annexation itself. As you know, we are trying to moderate how we go about seeking votes from our patrons for future bonds. This is a small project, no doubt about it, but we're trying to apply the same principles to a small project of 20 homes, or 30 homes in this case, potentially, as we do with something with 2,000 homes. And that is, every time another development happens, there is a need to serve those families. We calculate, in terms of the final plat or the concept drawn, but it'd be about 20 students. Again, not a great number. Their taxes pay for the teachers and maybe some of the materials, but not the capital needs. And so as we look at a potentially growing by 5% a school year, those capital needs are in the tens of millions, approaching 90 million as we calculate it. Every parcel you look to annex speeds that up just a little bit. And so we're requesting, in our letter, we simply stated that we cannot serve once it's all built out because of the total amount of build out. We can't serve it without a bond being passed. And so I'd like to apply those same principles to this situation. We do not have any mitigation from this developer or these landowners that help us get there to provide space for those students. And so our letter stands as written on March 3rd that we cannot serve this with all the other developments built.
Okay.
Thank you.
And that was all I had signed up that wished to testify. Was there anybody else? Okay, thank you. Doug, on the So with the development agreement with this, is this layout that we're looking at, is that part of the development agreement, or will that change?
So just to clarify, which layout are you looking at specifically? Are you looking at the concept plan, or what page are you on of the?
I am on 63 of 192.
All right, let me get. So, yes, page 63 is the concept plan. That is what you would see built out in substantial conformance through the development agreement. What you would see in the near present would be the page below it, the Schuyler Ranch subdivision with two smaller parcels in the northwest, which are the existing homes, and one large parcel to the south.
Okay.
Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
I'm not sure who to address this to, but in the letter from the plan review from the fire district, it says additional information is required for approval. The proposed plan indicates 32 buildable lots, single access provided from the south at West Ardell Road. A secondary access will be required to meet the Idaho Fire Code section D107.2. So, am I reading that right, that they're saying that road doesn't work for them because it doesn't have a secondary access?
That's what I was wondering, too.
Doug?
So the policy would be at 30 homes they require a secondary – Doug Hansen, for the record. At 30 homes they would require secondary access. So as – when they reviewed the concept plan, access didn't work for the concept plan that they're currently showing. But – at this point, this will all that concept plan will have to come all the way back through the preliminary plat process in the future when the piece is serviceable. Right now, that's just put in place to show that when this property does develop in the future through the subdivision process, it needs to be done in substantial conformance with that plan.
Thank you very much. Yep. Anybody in there? John, you have to have something to say.
No, actually, no. Oh. I bled myself out.
You bled out already?
A week. Okay.
He's a nap. I don't have any questions or any discussion necessary.
I thought you wanted a department.
Discussion will be good.
I was going to say, leave it to the fire
kidding.
Cops love the 1 inch when you just block it. Nobody can get out.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Are we ready to move on? Okay. Then I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I guess I can start.
Take the bat and swing, Warren.
I think, you know, Mr. Reinhart brought up a really good point when he said holding the standards no matter kind of the size of things and neighborhoods and stuff, and I think it's important. I feel the same way with that because when we look at simple annexations, let's take out preliminary plats and let's start with an annexation, right? We look at serviceability of the annexations, and that's kind of the discussion points we've always had moving forward. When we talk about where our schools are at, does a 30-home neighborhood necessarily have a grave impact on the schools? Maybe not. Can we service a 32-acre parcel with sewer? No. And so I feel like consistency is key in my eyes when it comes to how we look at annexations. And we talk about the importance of where we take into account the future of what that lot holds and what the city can do right now.
guess I look at this, like Mr. Reinhart said, this isn't a 2,000 house subdivision. It's a small one, but they still have to take the same model. But for us, to me, this is a little different. This is 32 homes. It's not a big subdivision. I'm assuming most of these kids will go to Indian Creek if they're in elementary school.
No, it's Silver Trail.
Oh, Silver Trail.
Silver Trail, yeah. And, yeah, you're absolutely right in that. But I look at if it's 20 kids with this one and 20 kids with the next one and 40 kids with the next one and 10 kids with the next one because they're all really small and we look at each individual one as being okay because they're small, where does that lead us? You know, there's...
Yeah,
and when you look at the same thing from the sewer standpoint.
Yeah, I just don't know if this is a hill I want to die on for 32 homes. I realize the school is going to always be a concern of ours and their struggles to try to figure, juggle the students around. But I would hate to deprive the landowner based on that.
And that's my thoughts. They know they can't even build at this point because of the sewer issue that just went out for bid. Now they have to put all that in. I mean, they're several years out from developing this, I would think. At least, you know, a solid year time they put that pipeline in and all that. And not that they're going to build another school in the next year, I don't think, anyway. And the school issue is always on my mind, too, yes. But, again, it's kind of the, I think the mayor's put it this way before, the little fill-in projects where we have houses all the way around something and then you have this hole in the donut. And this is kind of that hole for the square mile that we're filling in and finishing an area.
Are you being disrupted?
I guess in my eyes, where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line from annexations?
I don't know if we have a line, and I'm glad of that. I think we should take each individual applicant in front of us and be realistic about that applicant. The 2,000 home, that was good. I mean,
right.
That's worth having a in-depth conversation about needs and supplyability. I don't know if I want to do that to every little subdivision that comes along. I mean, I just don't see it here. The big subdivisions scare me. This one doesn't. So I guess I go with the homeowner being able to do what they want with their property. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I see, let me get back to the page. So this will be R4 and R6? Mm-hmm. My thought is if the land's up for sale, they're going to sell the land. Wouldn't you want to let the person that's going to buy it, I mean, he decided that, is their thought they want to lock this in now with that being the maximum that they can do?
According to the development agreement, right?
So then he could, can you put more houses that are currently, that are on this plan in an R6? Is that the maximum amount of houses you could put on that if we zone it R6? If we annex it in and it's already R6, can he come back with a different plan with more houses?
Not without modifying the development agreement.
Because you're saying it's a 10-acre parcel of land. If an R6 is a true R6, it's up to 60 homes. I mean, we know that's not the case.
And you have to come back to us.
What you're saying is, if you wanted to come back and say, because it's zoned as an R6, that development agreement locks in what they're showing they will build, not just the zone, right?
Yeah, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, the development agreement, like Councilman Christensen stated, it does not only lock in the zone, it locks in that actual plan. That is a part of the development agreement. It's an exhibit provided.
So the, if he came back to change it, that zoning would have to change. So he couldn't come back to you and say, now that it's in R6, I want to put 50 houses on it, and since it's annexed in, we'd just be going through checking the boxes, right? You figure out how many houses, look at them.
No, yeah, so he would have to go through an entirely new subdivision process after going through the development agreement modification process, which would be wholly up to the council whether or not they approved a development agreement modification.
Does this meet the open space requirement? For paths and walkways? Connectability. Because it's going to be right up against the heartland.
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. So at the moment, the open space calculation wasn't looked at exactly because it's still a concept plan. Mm-hmm. We have to look directly at the combo plat, so the three lots that are being created. But when it comes back through the subdivision process, we'll do the design review for the landscaping. We'll go over it with a fine-tooth comb. It'll be like they're completely resubmitting an entirely new application, but just for the preliminary plat process. It will come to us, Planning and Zoning Commission, and City Council. It will be it'll be an entirely new process for the preliminary plat.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anything further?
No, sir.
I just wanted to make sure that, but I think that says that if he changes it at any point, then it comes back to us to review. The only other concern I have is that how many more neighborhoods are already built there once we've already annexed it in. It's just checking, even if he decides to go with that, then it's pretty much done, right? We have no way to go back and look. Even if there's other developments around that are already added more capacity to schools. Then it's just checking the boxes, right?
At this point, we're committing to letting 20 additional students go into the schools, no matter what, in that case. No, I mean, I can't speak for the preliminary plat when the final build-out's done, but to your question, I think nothing about the surrounding areas.
I don't have anything further.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, if there is... let's see, we've already closed out, right?
Yeah.
Then I would move we approve case number 21-17AN and 21-06CPF and 21-06DA.
A second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye. Nay.
Motion carries. Next item, consideration to approve contingency request for up to $20,000 for history building mold cleanup. Chris, would you take this one, please?
Thank you, Mayor. Excuse me. I think it was last year. There was a report of a leak and thought it had been addressed, but it wasn't completely addressed. And so at this point, the History Center is completely closed. We haven't allowed anybody in for a period of time because the mold is significant and has gone up into the walls. We need to have proper eradication done. We need to secure the historical items that are in there. Have those cleaned as well for mold spores. And so currently there's a request for $20,000 to address that mold. And I stand for any questions.
And it was significant, so when they found what it was and saw the amount in there, I asked that our staff not be involved with the
remediation
process to mediate that. I wanted them to have professionals take care of that, so they probably would have went ahead and done it, but I didn't feel that was a good idea, so I appreciate the fact that they recognize the issue.
It's pretty nasty. So.
Okay, I would move we approve up to $20,000 out of contingency for the history building mold cleanup.
I'll second it.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Ordinances. All right. Item 8A, consideration to approve ordinance 2022-17, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors, DB Development LLC, and declaring water rights pertinent thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide the notice of this ordinance to the Nampa Meridian Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
Pretty run-of-the-mill one here, so I would move we waive three readings of ordinance 2022-17.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
I'd move we approve ordinance 2022-17.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the ordinance. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That's all we have on the agenda till we get to executive session. So if you would make a motion to adjourn to executive session, and we will need Chris and Morgan and anybody else. You want Doug? Doug and Mark? Okay. I guess it really doesn't matter. We can... pretty much all. I think we're all fine to be here. Okay.
I would move we adjourn to executive session under item code 74206C.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. We need to have a URA joint meeting. I want to know if council would prefer to have that with the URA board before a council meeting, or would you rather have that be a standalone type of meeting? It's urban renewal. And so it'd be probably early July.
URA.
Urinary tract. Roto-Rooter.
I'll leave it at that.
Now that's going to be in the minutes. See what you didn't do.
Do we care a lot? Make one.
Make one worse.
Okay. So we'll do it. Do you know how long the meeting it will be? Like, we need to start at 5 so we can be done by 6?
I think if we started at 5, we'd have 6 to do that.
Okay.
I think we didn't have one last an hour.
And then I just wanted to make council aware that, so everybody's been looking at impact fees, police and fire and parks, and we've gone through the process of reevaluating what those can be. And I just wanted you to know that that will be coming before council next month. And with the Meta project, it's vital that we get that through and approved before they pull permits. So it's, I don't think that, I told them, I said, I don't think anybody on council has any issue with impact fees. And some of them are going up pretty good. I think, I don't remember where we're at with police, but it's actually, instead of $90, it's almost worth collecting now. So I think they're all going to come in pretty well. So I just wanted you to know it's vital that we get that done. We're on a timeline with all the advertising and meetings that have had to happen. We're in a time crunch. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. And that's all I can think of. Did I forget anything tonight? I always do. Nothing? All right. Well, then, with that, meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.